accession number 20372, reel 1.
George Fisher, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Islington.
Which year was this?
Islington.
Which year was this?
Oh, 1920.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Islington?
No. I started, just as I started, we moved out here. I've lived out here since I was about 4.
This is Mottingham?
Yeah.
So you went to school in Mottingham?
No, Downham.
Where did you go to school?
Downham, a British school. Rangefield Road, Downham.
How old were you when you finished there?
14.
So that would have been in 34?
Yeah.
Did you get a job?
Oh yeah. I first of all went to a factory, but I was only there for a short time because I was an outside type, you know.
So what did you go to then?
Well, delivery boys, that's all there was in them days, unless you took the apprenticeship. And if you took the apprenticeship, I mean, your parents wanted money, and there was no money in apprenticeships. So you just had to earn it that way.
So what job were you doing when war was declared?
Well, when war was declared, I was in the army, because I used to belong to the Royal West Kent TAs, and things were pretty dicey for jobs and that, you know, and you weren't getting much, so, and I wasn't too happy at home, so I just went up to Woolwich and joined up, and then I went in the Buffs. So you can see the West Kents and the Buffs up there, them two.
How old were you when you volunteered for the army?
19.
So this must have been in 39?
Yeah.
But before the war started?
Before the war started. I'd finished my training before the war started.
And where did you do the basic training?
To Canterbury. Chaucer Barracks. Chaucer Barracks. In Canterbury.
What was the basic training like?
Oh, it was... But we got over it. I mean, I never made no fuss because, I mean, when we were kids, we had to do as we was told, and that's the basic, one of the big basic things of the army.
Were you able to do the things they wanted you to do?
Yeah, yeah.
How did the people in charge treat you?
Oh, very well, very well. I mean, they're strict, but they're again, in them days, they were strict, and you couldn't do nothing about that. But as long as done as you were told, there was no problem.
Had you expected a war to break out?
Well, not really. I mean, it didn't come until the invasion of Romania, wasn't it? Poland. It didn't come until then, and then everyone backed into it, so... Oh, no, I mean, I was quite prepared. Quite prepared for that.
How did you feel when you heard the news that war had been...
Oh, it didn't worry me. It didn't worry me. Matter of fact, they all cheered. But that, when they found out they had nothing to go over there with, it was a different story. And no arms, you know.
Who cheered?
Hey?
Who
cheered? Oh, all the blokes. They heard it on the telly, heard it on the wireless rather, and all cheered because, well, I suppose it was, if we hadn't have gone in, I think myself, it would have, you know, it would have been a different story. They'd have been over here.
Which battalion of the Buffs were you in by then?
Second battalion.
And where did you hear the news of the war declaration? Where were you?
I was at Canterbury. And we was at Canterbury then, but then we went down to Wales, Pembroke Dock.
What happened there?
Well, we was just there. I think it was more or less a waiting place because when we left there, we went to Portsmouth and caught a boat to go to Cherbourg.
Were you in a company in platoon by then?
Oh, yeah.
Which?
I can't remember now. I've got all I know is in one. But, you know, you don't think of little things like that. I know he was in the 44th Division out there. And
what was the trip across like?
The what?
The voyage like?
Well, that was a bit airy because what they'd done, they loaded the boats, took them out to sea, and one after another, and got a convoy before they took them over. And I was on one of the first boats, and I didn't think we was going to ever get over there. Because, I mean, you was full of vigour then. I mean, you weren't so tired as what you did get to.
What happened once you got to France?
Well, we went into Cherbourg, and in Cherbourg there's that big, I don't know what they call it, it's on the docks, you know, lot of glass and that. And yeah, we all had a rest there, and then we finally marched off to, we went up towards Arras, and when we got to Le Mans, we stopped there because we had to man the post for the there was petrol dump there, and we had to man that, and that was a bit aerating because it was all in blocks like this room, see. And then there was just a gap, I suppose, about this much. And there was another lot. And this was all over acres of field. And we had to walk up these blatant passageways and to make sure no one went about, you know. Now, if they had to come over and bomb them, they would not have caught some of us in there because that lot would have gone. But it didn't, so we laughed over that. But we didn't have much precision to hold, you see, at this stage because we were back in France. But then we had to march on to Oudenaarde. Now Oudenaarde was right up in Belgium, near the Albert Canal, and we was up there, I suppose. Oh, about a fortnight, and we was on a position there, and because on the Albert Canal in the 14th Ward, they used that as they threw dead bodies in there and used it as a path to get across the river, and it's got a right old saying on that one, you know. Anyhow, we was up there about a fortnight in Belgium, give in, and give us 24 hours to get out. Well, you've got to do what you're told, always. See, so we come over there, and we were getting out. Well, when we was getting out, we didn't realise Cherry was so near us, but it were, because the only way to get out was to come through a big open field. And it went down and up like that, see, and up the end, this end, was some sheds, stables and that. Well, once you got round the back there, you was larping, but you've got to remember, this was about a mile long, and it was all range for them to pick you off, and they really minced our blokes up there. There was people shouting for help. I went to help one bloke, and an elder bloke said to me, "Go on, son," he said, "get on." He said, "No good stopping here." He said, "You'll get shot your bloody self." Yeah, that's how it was. And I was one of them that got on top of the hill, and we was marching started marching back to France to get, because Belgium was absolutely giving in, no one even fighting. So we was marching back to France. Well, the blokes were so tired, and the sergeant major was just pushing them in line like that, you know. They were walking fast asleep. And then I went off, and the next thing I knew, I was getting off a lorry. Now, this lorry had no sideboards. It was just a plank. And do you know, all them blokes were standing there, and they was all fast akip, and none of them fell off. You wouldn't believe it, would you? And that's why they'd say you could sleep on a line. Sleep on a line, you could. And as soon as we hit France again, we're back on our feet, weren't we? And your feet was red raw, because it's big cobblestones. And it would knock your feet for a burden, you know. And but day after day, you was marching back. It wasn't much to hold because we had nothing to fight with. We didn't have no support at all. And the food wasn't getting up to us. The RSC, they weren't getting up there at all. But when we got to Dunkirk, this was all a couple of weeks later, like, you know, there was plenty of it down on the harbour. But what was that? But
so, did you go to the actual mall, or did you go to the beaches?
Oh, I went to the beaches. And well, as a matter of fact, I was lucky. About 3 miles away from what's the name, a brain gun carrier came along. And they said, "Here, I'll jump on." And this brain gun carrier was already filled up, and I was holding on. I got on, and I was just holding on to the mudguard, like. And he went down a ditch, and I went up the other side with him. But it was all fun. We were so tired, you just didn't know what was happening. You know, not at the time. But it was pretty air-raising at times, you know. But the reason they get the Dunkirk spirit is because, although all these blokes knew what positions I was in, they was always willing to help each other, you know. Oh, it's like coming through France. None of the blokes had had anything to eat. And the French, you've got a stall of eggs, boiled eggs, there. Now, none of us had been paid or nothing, you know. So, do you know, they wouldn't give you an egg. I said, wait until Jerry comes through, he'll take the eggs. He did, I'm sure of it. But that was that, and of course when they got to Dunkirk, they were so tired, and them blokes that paddled, I didn't paddle out to a boat because I couldn't swim, and these blokes that paddled out to the boat could swim, but they were so tired and had nothing to eat that half of them went under, and they were shouting for help. See, they weren't strong enough. But It's all the same old thing, you know. It's if you don't eat, you don't eat and sleep, you're as weak as a kitten. But I've seen some big boys there, you know, really hard nuts, and they're a prime for God. Don't worry, they're a prime for God to get them out of it. Yeah.
So were you on the beaches very long?
I was on the beach in about 2 days, I think. And then, because as I say, I wouldn't go out and paddle because I was only going to lumber myself and anybody else. So I just waited and hoped that something had come up. Well, there was a beach boat there. And there was a bloke who lived at Bromley. And he said, "Hey, George, Yeah. Because this boat was guarded by military police, see, so people couldn't get on it. So he waited till the copper got round the other side, and he threw one of them nets over. And I went up there, and I said, I got away. I jumped on that. But I don't know how I would have got away in another sense, but I mean, they were throwing it down at you. Bombs and shells and rifle fire, machine guns, everything on that. Well, you've seen it on film, haven't you?
Yes.
That's just how it was.
Were many men hit on the beaches?
Pardon?
Were many men hit on the beaches?
Well, you wouldn't know, because I tell you this, a lot of them dug themselves in, and the Dunkirk sand is like dust. It really is. And if you dropped a bomb, the whole lot would collapse in. And they were digging about 7 foot bloody deep. A lot of them got buried alive. I've seen the blokes that dig them out over there, and they said, we're still digging them out. They're still out there.
And when were you able to climb up this scrambling net onto the boat?
Yeah, you know these big, this was a merchant ship, see? And you know the stuff they put these big packages on and then chain it up and take it up on a horse when they had one then there. And I got out of it that way. And as I said, we had no food, but when I got to the beach, I got a big tin of corned beef. And I had that under my arm. And of course, when we did get sailing, the old skipper said to me, he said, would you mind if I cut that up for the lads? So I said, no. I said, you cut it up. I'd have took two bloody tins if I'd known, because it was only getting burnt. See, they wouldn't leave nothing there. They burnt everything. Cars, all the ammo, everything.
Were there many troops in this boat that you were in?
Oh yeah, they were well loaded, but you couldn't count them. You couldn't count. I'll tell you, you were so fast asleep that I was fast asleep, and I didn't have an overcoat, and someone gave me a brand new overcoat. And when I was lying in this boat, I had it over me. Now, when I finally did wake up, the overcoat's gone, and so is the bloke next door, because he was dead. I didn't know that. And I said, hey, who's got my coat? I said, oh, they put it on that bloke that died. Because the destroyers was taking the dead people off, you know. And that's how, I mean, you didn't really realise what was going on.
Did you know the name of the boat that took you off?
Oh, no. No, I didn't know. I forgot it now, but I did know it as a kid.
But it was a civilian boat? Or
oh, no, it was a boat? Civilian. No, it was a what's the name boat, you know? That fetches the stuff in and takes it out.
Cargo boat.
Yeah. Because we was all down in the hold. See? And that's where it went. But when we was coming home, we see one boat get hit. And, we was up the side of a battleship, and he was taking this stuff off, taking the blokes off, you know. And while he was taking them off, he got attacked, and he let his guns go, didn't he? And it rocked us out of the bloody water. Didn't off go, you know. And he nearly rocked us out of the water, but I think they kept away, pretty well away from the what's known. There were so many little boats there. And they was satisfied on going for them, I think. I know a lot of them got home. I mean, I admit, I admire them little boats.
Did you board this cargo boat during the day or at night time?
No, but it was just about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got on it then, and that was it. I stopped downstairs and just waited for what happened. I didn't know if Jerry would be there and they'd have captured the boat or not, but they did get it off. They did get it off and we got away. But they could have quite easily come down and captured a bloody lot of us.
Did you fall asleep in the boat?
Oh, yeah. Everybody did. Well, I mean, you come to take it, it was over a week without a sleep. The only time when we was up at Oudenaarde, the only time you got to sleep is if you was in the trench and you'd be leaning up like that and you'd just drop off. But taking it all round, I think the blokes were very good.
Where did you arrive in England?
I went to Dover. Come back to Dover, because we've come back and we was right in the way of the White Cliffs of Dover, and then they turned the boat round and went, oh, out that way. Someone said, oh, they're going to drop us off another place in France. So I said, oh, well, back to sleep now then. So I went back to sleep, and next thing I knew, we was in the harbour. We was in Dunkirk, Dover. But the thing was, they had to go around the minefield, see? That's why they went out that way. But we thought we were going back to bloody France. It wasn't too much information thrown at you.
Was there any kind of... Were people there to help you at Dover?
Oh, they're pretty good on, taking it all round. The people coming, when we was coming home, they stopped at Croydon, and the people, I know a fact they'd never had a lot, the people in the country didn't have a lot to spare. And they found fruit to give you and things like that on the train, while we was on the train. I thought it was great, really.
Was that at Croydon?
Eh?
At Croydon.
Croydon, yeah. Because we come through Croydon. See, we went down to, where is it we went? Portmudder Camp in Oxford.
Can I just go back and take you through some of the things you've told me, so to clarify it? Do you know when it was, which month it was, that you crossed from Pembroke Dock to Cherbourg?
What month would it have been? It was before Christmas anyhow. So, work it out. It started in November, didn't it?
What started in November?
The war.
The fighting started in May.
May. Yeah, well... I know by Christmas, before Christmas, we were out there because we had snow all over the place and we dug a trench and covered it with some old tin we found and made ourselves a bit of a sump because we had nothing to, you was only sleeping out in the snow otherwise, and we made ourselves a bit of a home there. We roughed it, but it's not bad.
Where did you spend that winter in France?
Oh, I didn't know half the places we went to, I'll tell you the truth there, because the whole thing was, it was like this country, all the nameplates was taken down, and if you no one told you where you was, and half the people that was with you didn't know where you was just there, and that was it. So... look, there is some people that say, oh, I went up this alleyway and that was next to the corner and all this, that and the other, you know. But I don't know how they know, because there was no signpost for them. But you'd always get one of them that know everything.
How were you getting on with French civilians?
Oh, we done all right with them. We was getting on all right with them. We've got on worse with them since we've been home, I think.
Were you doing any training during that winter?
No, we was in action. We was in action then.
And you say that when the fighting started, you moved up to Oudenarde?
Oudenarde, yeah.
Can you tell me about the fighting that you took part in Belgium, please?
Well, the only fight we took in Belgium was when we went to Oudenarde, and we held our line, because the Albert Canal was just over there, and we was just waiting for something to happen, because we knew that they were going to come across, and they come across at night, and we started firing, and a bloke got back to us and he said, hey, do you know we're out there? See, of course, we'd already been told that there was no one out there. But we didn't hit no one, but it could have done, you know.
Who was it who was out there?
Some of our blokes. So, anyhow, it was that day that Belgium gave us 24 hours to get out. And Jerry was right on our tail, mate. And he give us what for.
Were you firing with a weapon yourself?
Oh, yeah, only a rifle. But you didn't have... You had about five rounds of ammunition. Well, how long does that go? 2 minutes.
Could you see a target that you were aiming at? A German that you were aiming at?
No, because we never see none up there until it was dark. And that was when you had to really watch out, because there was foliage like that out there, see? So they could come through the woods. And we thought that's what it was. We thought it was Germans when our blokes come, because we understood that they'd all... Because we had a forward lot, see? And we understood they'd all come back, and they hadn't come back. Well, they had all nearly come back, but this was a little bit that a few that hadn't come back, and no one got hurt, so it was better things that were. But old Jerry was vicious out there.
In what way?
Eh?
In what way?
Well, you think nothing's shooting you rather than take you prisoner. I mean. Look at that, in Belgium, Paris, they murdered 70-odd people there, and in a stable. Now, we went there every year, they've put a plaque there, and they've made the stable a bit, what's the name? It's kept as a shrine, really.
And when you were fighting, were you on the Albert Canal itself?
No. Now, if we'd gone forward, then we'd come across the Albert Canal.
And can you tell me again about this incident in which there were a lot of casualties to your troops?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we was coming withdrawing from the from
Oudenarde,
and we had to go. This was the only way through. There was no cover at all, and it was just a plain field, and it come down and up. No trenches or nothing, and it was just getting picked off. And we did. We lost a hell of a lot of people there. Mind you, they had a set of mercies, because they had the ammunition we didn't. Even if we had have done, we couldn't have stopped the fight. I'm not in the open like that when they had cover.
Do you remember any of the names of the people you were with?
No, they, you know, we all got mixed up in the end. They all got mixed up.